The reading today from the prophet Isaiah begins with the words, "In the year that King Uzziah died." I wonder if you've ever heard of King Uzziah before, or have any idea what was going on in the world of ancient Israel the year that he died. If you are unsure who King Uzziah was, or if you don't know what was going on in the world of ancient Israel the year that he died, fear not, for I am going to tell you. It is time for a little history lesson from the annals of the Bible. So King Uzziah was actually the king of Judah and not of Israel. You may or may not be aware that after the reign of King Solomon, and I'm sure you know some stories about Solomon in the temple, Solomon the Wise, after the reign of King Solomon, the kingdom of Israel split in two. A northern part, which was called Israel, and a southern part, which was called Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel contains many of the places we know well from the stories of Jesus, the Sea of Galilee, the River Jordan, and the capital, which was called Samaria. The southern kingdom of Judah had its capital at Jerusalem and was bordered on the west by the territory of the Philistines, which we know today as Gaza. The territory of the northern kingdom stretched all the way from the Jordan to the Mediterranean, but the southern kingdom couldn't reach the Mediterranean without going through the territory of the Philistines that we now call Gaza. I mentioned this because King Uzziah, whose year of death is the setting for the prophet Isaiah's vision of the Lord of hosts, conquered the territory of the Philistines, which we now know as Gaza, in the second book of Chronicles in the Hebrew scriptures. And I wonder how many of you have read the second book of Chronicles. In the second book of Chronicles, it outlines some of the pursuits of Uzziah, how he routed the Philistines and broke down the defenses of their cities. And he conquered the Arabs, and his fame spread all the way to Egypt. There is some ink spilled there, too, about all the fancy machines Uzziah had built to further the cause of war, machines for shooting arrows and throwing rocks, for defending towers. He was very strong, and he reigned as king for 52 years. The second book of Chronicles loves King Uzziah and his strength. It is worth noting here that in many ways, the first and second books of Chronicles function in many ways as propaganda for the southern kingdom of Judah, in much the same way that the first and second books of Kings, aren't you loving this tour of the Old Testament? The first and second books of Kings function as propaganda for the northern kingdom of Israel. Uzziah is mentioned in the second book of Kings as well, but there are not lists of his accomplishments, no mention of fancy war machines, and not even really much of a life story at all. They even spell his name wrong. That's not a joke. They actually spell his name wrong. It really just mentions that he died, and then goes on to list the stories and accomplishments of the kings of Israel. Remember that Uzziah was the king of Judah, which was the southern kingdom, not the king of Israel, which was the northern kingdom. And it might be worth mentioning here that neither Israel nor Judah were particularly big power players in the ancient world, despite what it might say in the books of Chronicles or the books of Kings. The real power at that time was, of course, the Assyrian Empire and their leader, whose name, and you are going to love this, his name was Tiglath-Pileser. I remember learning about Tiglath-Pileser in seminary, and I thought, what a fun name, Tiglath-Pileser. After King Uzziah died, his son, who was the new king of Judah, had some conflict with the king of Israel, and the king of Israel thought that he would ally with the Assyrian Empire. The king of Israel by then was pretty corrupt, however, and eventually the Assyrian emperor deposed the king of Israel and put a puppet king in his place. One might have thought that this boded well for the king of Judah, but once Israel became subjugated to the Assyrian emperor, Judah wasn't far behind. And one of the strategies of the Assyrian emperor to maintain control was to deport large numbers of the populations of the countries he took over. And I'm sure you know some stories about the deportation of the ancient Israelites. This all accelerated after the year that King Uzziah died. The empire took over. And there's always some empire or other looking to take over the little strip of land on the eastern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. The Assyrian Empire, the Egyptian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, even in modern times, the British Empire and the French Empire. Who do you think was instrumental in setting up the modern state of Israel? And the American Empire, if you want to call the U.S. an empire, sends a lot of money and weapons to the modern state of Israel. In some ways, we're watching ancient history repeat itself as Israel attempts to conquer Gaza. But this is not about Jew versus Palestinian. This is about empire trying to take over. But back to King Uzziah. King Uzziah died after an unfortunate incident involving his inappropriate use of incense in a religious ritual. And you're laughing, but you can't make this stuff up. He was struck with leprosy and had to live the rest of his life in exile. There is some thought that the priests thought he was trying to usurp their power, and so God afflicted him. And this is the story of many of the kings of Israel and Judah. Their pride, their arrogance, their hubris is what brings them down. And then empire takes over and their people get deported. When the prophet Isaiah invokes the name of Uzziah, as he tells us about his vision of the Lord of hosts, I think Isaiah is invoking all of this too. In the year that King Uzziah died, we could see the weakness and corruption of our political leaders and the looming threat of imperial domination. In modern times, an equivalent phrase might be in the year that President Kennedy was assassinated, or in the year that Pierre Trudeau invoked the War Measures Act, or in the year that Donald Trump was elected president. It's the kind of year when our collective consciousness is shocked into recognizing just how fragile the good life is, just how dangerous the world can be. In the year that they discovered the skeletons of 215 children who had disappeared from residential school, this is what Isaiah is invoking when he says, in the year that King Uzziah died. And then he tells us of his vision of the Lord sitting on the throne. God is the one on the throne. Not Uzziah, not Tiglath-Pileser, not Pierre Trudeau, not Donald Trump. The Lord is seated on the throne in all splendor and power and majesty. The kings of this world are nothing in the face of that. And lest you feel unworthy, dear prophet, in the face of all that power and splendor and majesty, lest you feel like you aren't good enough to stand at the feet of God. God will touch your lips, dear prophet, and your guilt and your sin will be gone. God will touch your lips with a burning hot coal to remind you of all the suffering and pain that has gone on in this world, to remind you that the world is full of people who are hurting. But God will remove your guilt and your sin so that you can be empowered to speak the truth about this world. God is not touching your hands with a burning hot coal, or your feet, or even your heart. God is touching your lips so that you can be empowered to speak the truth about this world, to speak the truth when our leaders become embroiled in corruption, to speak the truth about the dangers of empire, to speak the truth to those who feel abandoned and alone, that they are beloved children of God. You, dear prophet, have been given the gift of your voice. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And in the year that King Uzziah died, in the year when it felt like the world was falling apart, in the year when all the pain and suffering of history was revealed to us, even in that year, I said, here I am, send me.